Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
I became a Christian out of a completely non-Christian background when I was in college. And back then, and still occasionally today, when someone finds out that I'm a Christian, they'll say, "Oh, you're religious." And I always say, "No, I'm not religious at all. Actually, you're more religious than I am." And then they always say, "No, I'm not a Christian. You are, so you're religious. I'm not." And then I say, "No, I'm a Christian, so I'm not religious at all. You're not a Christian, and so you are religious." What do I mean by that? And is it right, or am I just stupid? Which is always a possibility with me. Maybe I'm just being stupid. Or is that true? Well, we're going to figure that out today as we begin this new series called Free. And we all want that, right? We want to be free. Well, what we're going to learn in this series is that faith in Jesus, a relationship with God, sets us free. In fact, we're told in the Bible that that's the whole point of it. There's a verse in a book called Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." And today we're going to see that one of the things we're set free from is religion. So in this series, we're going to dive into a book of the Bible called Galatians. And I want to give you just a little bit of background on Galatians. So we call Galatians a book of the Bible, but it was actually originally a letter inspired by God, but written by a guy named Paul, somewhere right about 50 AD. And so let's unpack the life of Paul just a little bit. Growing up, his name was Saul, not Paul, and he became a Pharisee. The Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day, and Saul was considered like one of the best when it came to religion. He followed all the laws. He did lots of good works. So Paul is this Jewish guy. He becomes a Pharisee, and he hated Christians. He lived at the same time as Jesus, and when Christianity starts up, he's furious. Why? Well, because what Jesus came to do was end religion. Jesus came not to establish a religion, but to end religion. And that was a real threat to someone like Paul because he was a religious leader. And so Saul, he made it his mission to destroy Christians and destroy Christianity. He actually participated in putting Christians in jail and even killing some of them. One day, he's on that mission. He's traveling to a town called Damascus to persecute the Christians there, and something dramatic happened. Jesus, who had come to earth and lived, but had just pretty recently been crucified and then resurrected and then went back to heaven, spoke to Paul. Jesus was not physically there, but Saul encountered Jesus in a way that was undeniable and completely changed everything in Saul's life. And I realize that may sound like kind of strange and supernatural. That's because it is kind of strange and supernatural. And there are a lot of people in this room who would say, "I have that same story. Like, I was living my life, I was on my road, and I met Jesus. I encountered Jesus, his love, his truth, and it changed everything for us." Well, this guy Saul, he now becomes a Christian for his encounter with Jesus, and he starts being called Paul, and he becomes what's known as an apostle. An apostle was a person who would go into a town, tell the people there about Jesus, start a church with those who believed, train up leaders for the church, release them to lead the church, and then go to a next town and do it all over again. One area that Paul did this in was called Galatia, and he started some churches there, and then he went on to the next place. So Paul is continuing his life, continuing his ministry, but he hears something. He hears that the Galatians were starting to go back to religion. Like, they had been religious before, but then they encountered, that they got Jesus. He set them free from religion, but now they were tempted to go back to religion again. Actually, get this. What they wanted is they were wanting to keep Jesus, but add on religion. But you can't have Jesus and religion because Jesus is the opposite of religion. So Paul hears this. He's confused. He's shocked. He's livid. Check out what he writes to them. We're going to put all the Bible verses on the screen for you. We give out free Bibles at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place if you want a Bible. So he hears this and he writes to them, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." Gospel just means good news, a different version of the good news, which is really no gospel at all. He says, what you're turning to is not good news at all. So Paul writes, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting." So it's like they hadn't quite deserted God yet, but they were kind of in that process. And I wonder if maybe some of you have done that. Or maybe like the Galatians, you kind of feel like you're in the middle of doing that. But like perhaps at one time in your life, it may have been last year, maybe when you were a kid, like you really cared about God and you actually felt close to him. But somehow you kind of drifted away. And it's like you're at a place now where it's like you miss him. You miss him. And it may be this journey away from God. It may be something real obvious, like you stopped coming to church, or you started engaging in some sin, or you just don't really pray much anymore. And it's like it's obvious to you that you have kind of drifted from God. But it might not be so obvious, because maybe, like the Galatians did, what you're doing is you're adding religion to this faith that you have in God. And that actually might feel right to you. You might be like, isn't that what I'm supposed to do? Isn't it a religion? And Paul says, no, being religious is deserting God. It's walking away from God. And so maybe some of you hear all that. In fact, you've heard all of this, and you're thinking, well, I don't get this at all. Because isn't Christianity a religion? What are you talking about? Which brings me back to me telling people, you know, as a Christian, I'm not religious, but since you don't believe in Jesus, you are religious. So let me try to help you with what I think is a helpful tool. So I first got this years ago from a friend of mine named Kyle, and I've been kind of trying to develop it over the years. I show this to you like, I think 4 years ago. So if you've been around for a while, you might be like, oh yeah, I remember this. So I want you to see the difference between religion and Christianity, being a follower of Jesus, okay? And I hope that it will help you to figure out, am I doing religion or am I doing Christianity, right? So I'm going to kind of compare and contrast, and then you can just be honest just with yourself and think, which one sounds more like me, all right? So first, the key word. And the key word for religion is do. It's do. It's all about what I do. And so I'm trying to do the right things, and I'm trying not to do those wrong things, and I'm trying to do enough to make up for my sin so God will love me and approve of me and I can earn his favor. It's kind of like, you might not think of it this way, but it's almost like there's a ladder and I'm trying to climb to God and climb to heaven through being a good person and stop doing a lot of the bad stuff I used to do. The key word for religion is do, but the key word for Christianity is done. It's not about what I do. It's not. It's about what was done for me by Jesus on the cross. And so I do not put my trust in what I do. I put my trust in what Jesus has done for me. I know that I don't have to earn my way to God because God has done for me what I could never do for myself. I don't have to climb a ladder of good works to get to God and get to heaven because Jesus climbed down a ladder from heaven to bring me to God. See, the truth is that God loves us unconditionally, but religion teaches that God loves us on condition. If we meet the right conditions, we can get his love. No, because of his love, God desires relationship with us, which is why he sent Jesus. And Jesus did for me what I could never do. Jesus never sinned. He was good enough. And then he died a death he didn't deserve to take the punishment for my sins that I deserved. That's why the Bible says that we are saved by grace. Check out Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. See, it's not what we do, it's what he has done. All we do is put our faith in what he has done. So, this person who says, oh, you're religious, and I say, no, you're more religious than I am. Why? Well, someday, each of us, and each of us, is going to stand before God on Judgment Day. That's real. We don't like to talk about it. We don't talk about it much here for sure. It's real, okay? And God is going to ask everyone a question. The question is, why should I let you into my perfect heaven? Everyone's going to have to answer. So this person who said, oh, you're religious because they found out I'm a Christian and they're not, what are they going to say in that moment? Well, their only option is going to be to talk about all the good things they've done and try to defend their life by showing that they were a pretty good person. That's religion. That's religion. That's the epitome of religion. What I'm going to say in that moment is, I put my faith in Jesus. And so what I've done does not get me into a perfect heaven. I don't even come close. Like, what I've been really good at doing is sinning. But, it's not what I do because I am completely depending on what Jesus has done for me. That is the opposite of religion, right? The key is not what I do, it's what he has done. So let me ask, just to yourself, which of those better describes you? So like, which one do you spend more of your time and mental energy focused on? Do you think more about what you do and have to do or more about what Jesus has done? And what have you put your trust in? Like, what is your hope for this life and past this life? Is it in what you do or is it in what Jesus has done for you? The answer to that question probably says whether you're doing religion or Christianity. Next, the foundation. The foundation for religion is rules. It's rules, right? It's very much about rules. And so faith becomes kind of a checklist of things I have to make sure I do and another list of things that I'm not supposed to do. The foundation for Christianity is relationship. It's all about relationship. But because of God's grace, I have a relationship with him and I know that he is for me. Listen, God does want you to follow the rules. Because he loves you. And if he gives a rule, it's there for a reason. It will make your life better. Just like any good parent gives their kids rules. Don't play in the street. Don't touch the hot stove. He wants you to follow his rules, but not because you have to become a rule follower. No, he wants you to follow the rules because you want to, because of your relationship with him. Think of it this way. Let's say you know a husband, and every Friday on his way home from work, he buys this beautiful dozen roses, and he gives it to his wife every Friday night at the end of the week. That would be a beautiful way of expressing love in that relationship, right? But what if the only reason he does that is because on the day they were married, she told him, you will come home from work every Friday with a dozen roses for me. And so each week he walks in and goes, here's your roses. Oh, right? No. Rules outside of relationship, yuck. Right? That's not beautiful. That's kind of gross. Right? What if this husband tells his wife, there is this woman at work I totally want to sleep with, but I won't. I know I'm not allowed to commit adultery. Oh, right? No. Like, yuck, right? So yeah, we will want to follow all of God's rules. We should want to follow all of God's rules, but that's not the foundation. The foundation is relationship, and we don't have to follow the rules. We don't have to, because our standing with God isn't based on rule keeping, it's based on grace. But we want to follow the rules because of love. So check out this Bible verse. It's fascinating to me. You can decide if it is to you. Titus chapter 2, verse 12. It says, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So that word, it says, it teaches. That word teach is the same exact word that is usually used in the Bible to describe a parent's responsibility to their child. And so, like, it's used usually to, like, train up your children, raise up your children, encourage your children, bring your children to the point of maturity, okay? And that verse said that it teaches us, right? It trains us, motivates us, inspires us, instructs us to what? Said to say no to the things we shouldn't do and to say yes to the things we should do. And so the question you should be asking is, what is it? You say, what is it? You want it all, but you can't have it. Anybody remember that? Yeah? What is it? Nobody? I'm by myself? Okay. Later in the lobby, come and, like, give me a high five. If you remember that song, Faith No More, like 1991-ish. What is it? What is it? So it is a pronoun referring back to the last verse where it is defined as the grace of God. It in verse 12 is a pronoun referring back to the grace of God in verse 11. So God's grace is his unconditional love for us. And so it, that thing that makes me not want to do the bad stuff and makes me want to do the good stuff, is not the wrath of God. It's not the fear of God. I'm not going to screw up because, whew, I might get punished, right? It's not the wrath of God. It's not the fear of God. It says it's God's grace, which is interesting because God's grace means I don't have to follow the rules. God's grace means I don't ever have to follow the rules. But that verse says it's God's grace that leads us to want to follow the rules. Because it's not about rules, it's about relationship. It's about relationship. And that's what leads us to want to follow the rules. It's not, there are the rules and I gotta follow the rules. No, we want to follow the rules because of our relationship with God, and it's all about relationship. That's what God wants from us. He is a loving Father. He wants relationship. He's inviting you into a love relationship with him, and you just have to say yes. It's all about relationship, and you say yes by putting your faith in his son Jesus and what he did on the cross for you. So this chart, and we're not going to go through all of it today. We're actually going to end the rest of the series a little bit. But the differences between religion and Christianity, they keep going, and they're very extreme. So the focus of religion is outward. It's all about my behaviors, and I want to try to impress God and you with what you see on the outside. The focus of Christianity is all inward. It's all about your heart, and you don't change from the outside in. You change from the inside out. The effect of religion is hypocrisy. Because I'm trying to put on a good show, but that's probably not really the truth behind what's going on in my real life, right? The effect of Christianity is honesty. Why? I know that I'm loved unconditionally. And so if you see flaws in me, that's okay. I'm still loved. I don't have to freak out about what you think, and I know God loves me, so I can be honest with him. The effort of religion is trying, right? It's like, I'm going to do my best. Wish me luck. The effort of Christianity is relying. The Bible never says try your hardest. It says, like, you rely on God. You're connected to God, and he does this in you. The motivation of religion is guilt. The motivation of Christianity is gratitude. So you're trying to figure out which one's me. Do you feel like you're more motivated by guilt or more motivated by gratitude? Why do you not do the thing you don't want to do, or you kind of do want to do, but you do, or, and why do you do the good thing that maybe you wouldn't really want to do, but you should do it? Is it like, I'm just so grateful to God? Or is it like, I know, I can, I should? And then the outcome of religion is frustration. Because I'm trying so hard, but I can't do it. And the outcome of Christianity is transformation. Like, you actually change, not by trying, but by relying. And we're going to, like I said, we'll continue to explore this as the series continues. But we're going to stop going through the differences for now. Hopefully, you at least have started to get a feel for why I say Christianity is not religion. Christianity is actually the opposite of religion. And the Galatians had got that, okay? So Paul had come to them. He taught them that. They got it. And now they're thinking about going back to religion. And so in this letter, Paul tries to make it clear again. He's like, apparently you didn't get it good enough. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. He says, yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. So was there a purpose, like there were all these laws back in the Old Testament times before Jesus? Was there a purpose for those? Yes. The laws taught people the right way to live. The laws made people conscious of their sin. The laws made us realize our need for a Savior, because I can't keep all those laws. But the law cannot keep us from sinning. And the law cannot save us from sin. And so Paul tells them, listen, there's two options. Everyone has a choice, right? We can choose religion and follow the rules, or we can choose Jesus and follow him. It's your option. And that's the choice Paul made, is the second one. He says in verse 19, for when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. I could never follow it. I just felt guilty. He says, so here's my decision. I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. He says, there's a choice. I chose to die to the law, to end my religious life so that I could live for God in relationship with him, not by the rules of religion. And he goes even further than that. Check out the next verse. He says, so I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless, for if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. Did you get that? So he's saying, listen, if religion works, like, if we can make ourselves right with God by being good enough, then it's stupid that Jesus died for us. Stupid, right? Why would Jesus die for us if there was another way that we could get to God and into heaven? And so he's saying, if you go back to religion or you try to combine religion with grace, what you're doing is undermining why Jesus came and the sacrifice he made for you. Jesus came to do away with religion. The root word from which we get religion, it actually means bondage. And Jesus came to set us free from religion. And the Galatians had understood that, right? They got it. Yes, we're putting our faith in Jesus. But now they're questioning it and having second thoughts. And the truth is, it's still the same today. People will still choose religion. One of the most important and influential Christian thinkers since the Bible is a guy named Martin Luther. Not Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King was named after Martin Luther. Martin Luther says that the natural predisposition of every heart is religion. He says, unless you fight against it, everyone will go back to thinking religion. It's just what comes naturally to us. But in another sense, it's like, that's weird though, right? Why would anyone, like you look at that, why would anyone be drawn to religion? If someone has freedom in Christ, these Galatians had freedom in Christ, why would they possibly be drawn back into a religious system of rules? The reason is, religion can actually look kind of attractive. The truth is, it's bondage. It makes you a slave. It's not something you want in your life. But at first glance, it can look kind of attractive. I'll tell you a couple reasons I think people are drawn to religion. You might find yourself in one of these. So first, it just seems to make more sense, right? So religion says this: if you're good enough, God will accept you. How does that sound? Reasonable, right? That totally makes sense, right? Here's what Christianity says: if you're really bad, God still loves you. In fact, you've sinned so much against God, and your sin separates you from God, that he sent his son to earth to die for you, to take the punishment for your sin. How does that sound? Too good to be true. It's like, that can't be it, can it? Like, that's way too good to be true. It's easier to believe in conditional love than to believe in unconditional love. It makes more sense. I mean, it makes sense that we would have to earn God's love, because don't you have to earn everything in life? And I think some people are drawn to religion because it just seems to make more sense. Another reason, I think, is because religion offers a method of measurement. And we like to be able to measure because we want to know how we're doing, right? We get grades in school and we have our bosses tell us how we're doing that. And that's part of the appeal of religion. It gives you rules so that, like, you can know if you're being good enough or not. And so you look at the rules and you're like, okay, I can do this. Let's do this, right? But listen, like, do you really want to have to depend on you being good enough? You? I know some of you, right? And how do you really know if you are, if you've met the mark? How do you know if you're good enough? And that's what happens. When you make it about rules and you're measuring because of rules, things get really weird. And so this has always been the case. So I'll give you a couple examples. Back in the Old Testament, God gave a law. Take the Sabbath as a day of rest. That's really cool, right? God loves people. Like, we're his kids, and he's like, I don't want you working all the time. You will burn out. And so you take one day as a day of rest. Awesome. But the religious leaders back then said, okay, God, good law, but how do you measure whether you've rested? We can't measure that. And so we need to add laws to God's law so that we can measure who's measuring up and who's not. So they made another law. You're going to think I'm joking. I'm not joking, okay? On the Sabbath, you can walk 7/10 of a mile and no more. That was their law. And so, like, back then, people are like checking on their Apple Watches, right? And they're like, oh, crap, that's it. I guess I'm just going to stand here for the rest of the day because 7/10 of a mile, right? Like, my Fitbit says, like, literally they made that law. They made another law that if a hen laid an egg on the Sabbath, you can't eat it. Not you can't eat it on the Sabbath. You have to throw it. You can never eat it because that hen worked on the Sabbath. Bad hen. What are you doing, right? So like, people just get crazy because we have to measure. We have to know, are we meeting the standards, right? Religious people still do the same thing today. They add laws to what God has said so we can measure. For instance, in the Bible, God says that we should dress modestly. Why? Because he's a good father. He knows that if this person is lusting after someone, that's not healthy for anyone, right? That's why I try to cover up and not show a lot of skin on Sundays, because I know how good I look up here, and I don't want to tempt anyone. So God just says, there's just a simple dress modestly. Oh, he's a good dad, right? Well, that's not good enough. Some of you grew up in these churches where they. So how do you measure modestly? So here's the rule: girls have to wear dresses, and dresses have to come below the knees, right? Some of you are like, I grew up in that church. I had to wear a dress, and I had to come. Why? Because we can measure that, right? That's why we do that. There's another verse. God says that we should only speak to each other encouraging words, not unwholesome words. It's awesome. He's such a good father, right? He says, hey, encourage each other. Don't tear each other down. Speak encouraging words, not unwholesome words. Cool. How do we measure what unwholesome is? That's hard. And so throughout the years, Christians have kind of come up with this list of, like, these are the words that you cannot say, like, or you're breaking that rule. And then there are religious-minded people. Maybe you've been around these people. Maybe you haven't. Most people come to Verve have, like, never really been around church much. And so maybe you've never seen this. But a lot of Christians have, like, a list of, of words you can say. They're like Christian curse words, basically. It's like they mean the same thing as the words you can't say, but you can say these. We helped God by making a list of acceptable curse words. So just replace your old ones with these and you'll be good and we'll measure up. See, if you're trying to measure, you have to keep adding rules because we have to be specific enough to know if we're doing it or not. You can't measure, today I kept the Sabbath. but you can measure 0.7 miles. That's it, right? I think another reason people are drawn, and so we like to measure, another reason I think people are drawn to religion is it can give you a feeling of superiority, right? Which like, it's kind of nice, right? Like, if I can feel better than you, that's pretty cool. I want to be better than you, especially this guy over here. And with religion, it's like I can always find someone. If I approach it like religion, there's always someone I can compare myself to who's worse than me. Right? We can all find somebody who's more sinful, who does less good, and go, I'm pretty good, right? Because that's how it's rules, and I keep them better than you do. One last reason I think people are drawn to religion is it provides a sense of comfort, but it's a false sense of comfort. Like religion, you feel like you're in control of your own destiny. I mean, that feels comfortable, doesn't it? Like, okay, so what you're saying is there's rules to follow. I need to observe them. Okay, I can do that. And so we get this religious checklist, and I need to pray every day. I need to not say this anymore. I need to not do that. And it makes us feel better about ourselves. Here's the problem. What you're doing with religion is putting your hope in yourself. You don't want to put your hope in yourself. That's why it's a false sense of comfort. Yes, we've sinned, okay? I think we all recognize that. And yes, we need a bridge to God. But no matter how much we try to stop sinning and no matter how many good works we do, we are never going to be good enough. It turns out good enough is never good enough. Again, I know I shared it, but it's such an important verse. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, God saved you by his grace. Grace means you get the opposite of what you deserve. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. Our only hope is Jesus. He is the bridge that gets us to God. Our only hope is putting our faith in Jesus, because there is coming a day where I and where you are going to stand before God, and he will ask you, why should I let you into my perfect heaven? And you're going to have to give him an answer. And the only answer that's going to work is, I put my faith in Jesus. I asked him to be the forgiver and the leader of my life. I'm not here based on what I've done. I'm looking at what Jesus has done. You can't rely on what you do. It can only be on what he has done. And maybe you've never gotten this before. Maybe you're like, oh. Maybe you're ready to put your faith in him. But like, you might be ready right now to say, I want to make him the forgiver of my life, and I want to make him the leader of my life. And if so, tell him. But you can tell him. That's what prayer is talking to God. He says, talk to me, I'm listening. You can tell him. Like today, you could tell him. In fact, how about this? In a minute, I'll pray that prayer, and if you're ready to make, if you're like, yes, that's me, like you could make this prayer your prayer, and you could tell him. I'll kind of lead you through that, okay? If you do that, if you're like, okay, I'm ready to do this, the Bible says the next step is to be baptized. And so Jesus talked about this in Mark 16:16. He said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. So baptism is just a physical representation of you surrendering your life to God. It's like what's happening in my mind with my faith and in my heart, like my body is just like physically representing that. I'm just surrendering. I'm falling into God's arms. In baptism, a person is lowered underwater, and then that person is raised up out of water. And the idea of it, the reason God had, like, because why? Like, that's weird, right? Well, it's supposed to look like you're being lowered into a grave and then raised up out of a grave. And the idea is that I'm dying to this old life of religion, of trying to be good enough, of hoping I could be loved by God or acceptable to God, and I'm being raised up in freedom. Right? And freedom in knowing that it's just Jesus. It's all through Jesus. And I'm going to live my life in a relationship and in the love of God through Jesus. We're doing baptisms on the last day of the series, August 11th and 12th. So 3 weeks from today. And so if you believe in Jesus, but you've just never been baptized, or maybe if today, for the first time, you're like, I want to do this. I'm ready to make Jesus the forgiver and the leader of my life. Well, then you could get baptized 3 weeks from today. And at the Velcro bar, you can get more information or you could sign up. And if you sign up, that's not committing to do it. It's committing to get us to call you or email you and we'll walk you through it. And then you can decide if you're ready for that next step or not. Okay? So I'm going to pray this prayer. And like I said, if maybe you've made it your prayer in the past, but maybe for the first time you're ready and you're like, I want to do this. Like, I want to make this prayer my prayer. And if so, you can do that. All right? God, it just sounds and it feels too good to be true. But it's true. You are better than I could have hoped or imagined. And so, God, in this moment, I recognize that I have sinned. Like, I'm not fooling you, myself, or anybody else. I know that I have not always lived the way that I'm supposed to live. I've ignored you a lot. I've rebelled against what is right. You've called me to live a life of love, and I've often not been loving. And I recognize that I have sinned, and I don't know if I completely understand it all, but it makes sense that if I have sinned, that there's probably a punishment for that. There's probably it would make sense to me that if I've rebelled against you, you're not going to be in a relationship with me anymore. But God, I also now recognize that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Wow. And so God, I'm putting my faith in Jesus as the only one who could take my sins away. God, thank you. Thank you for Jesus and what he did on the cross. And I no longer want to have any faith in what I do. I want all my faith in what he has done for me. And so I put my faith in him as the leader, as the forgiver of my life. And God, I want to make him the leader of my life because I know that you love me and I know that Jesus is smarter than me. And so whatever he says from now on, that's what I want to do. I want to follow him the rest of my life so that I can live out your will for my life. So I can live the life of love that you made me for, that I'm incapable of living by myself. But with your help, I would love to do that. God, lead me through this life. And God, for those who maybe said that for the first time today or maybe have in the past but have never been baptized, what an awesome opportunity to get baptized here in 3 weeks. And the Bible says literally that a party explodes in heaven when someone gives their life to you, when someone takes that next step and gets baptized. And so we're excited for 3 weeks from now and seeing people make that decision. What an awesome God you are. God, we thank you for your grace and we pray all these things in your name. Amen.